Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love that flows in this place, God, and in our hearts. Thank you for drawing us and inviting us into your presence. God, we pray for your word, God, for the food and the drink that we're so desperate for. We pray that your words would come to life, Lord, that it would land and be written in our hearts. God, that we would fellowship with Christ. So Holy Spirit, take the words, God, from the ear to the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to say, let's give Jesus a hand, I think, and just let's praise him for his presence and the way he ministered to our youth, and just in the way that he served our servers, our teachers, you know. Let's just give God just a round of applause. You know that the Spirit of God is moving, because the main job of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to fall in love with Jesus. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. It causes us to repent and fall in love, renew us, stay in love, fall in love again, stay in love. And I believe God was doing that at the retreat, just causing just a fresh love to be poured out so that our youth and our students and our parents to walk in the love of God. And today, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it could be confusing, and at times it could be controversial. But we're going to just look to the Word of God and just look at what God is saying about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so the word baptism, baptizo, is a term in Greek. It means to be immersed or submerged. So when we do baptism, you know, we're a Baptist church, right? Because we like to submerge, right? To look at Romans, to unite with Christ in his death, to rise to a new life in Christ. And so, we are immersed in water. But John the Baptist, there's a quote by John the Baptist that all four gospels, you know, a lot of times it's really the three gospels that covers this, but all four gospels really cover what John is saying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at one of them, Matthew 3:11. It says, this is John talking and pointing to Christ. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, there are a lot of discussions about what it means to be baptized by the Spirit. You know, I've, you know, been on one side of the argument where, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit is just everybody. You know, all Christians are baptized by the Spirit. And it's true. I would say that. Then I've been on the other side, where it says, well, there's a second baptism, you know, when I was attending a charismatic church. And it's like this one-time baptism, you know, evidenced by the speaking of tongues. And that basically supercharges you into a whole different level of Christianity. And there's a bit of truth in that. Now, John doesn't parse, nor does Scripture, nor does Jesus Christ really parse it that way, but has a very holistic approach. And I believe that what John is saying when Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, that he means both. That he means both. And we're going to take a look at that. But let's look at the Spirit's role in salvation. And I think, Robert talked about what it means to walk by the Spirit and the desire. So let's read. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36:26. This is what happens when you become a Christian. This is what happens. This is how God does a new thing. The New Testament says we are a new creation. So let's look at specifically what God does in salvation. And I will give you a new heart. This is God speaking. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now, interesting that when we have this new heart, right? What it's saying is you want to obey God. A lot of times, and I would say this, right? So often, like the elders, we, in a sense, are sometimes maybe too worrisome, you know, to ask you to do too much. Now, I will say, I love our church. I love the fact for a church this size to run a children's, you know, Bible club, it's almost unheard of. You know, I know, you know, friends at big churches who struggle with running like an Awana or whatever, right? We ask, and a lot of you say, I do. I love that. I love, now, you grumble. You know, I'm not going to lie to you, right? And I do too. But here's the thing. Here's what's happening in the new heart, right? The heart is a factory of desire. That's what a heart is. It wants things. So when God gives you a new heart, not that the old nature goes away, but you want now God. And here's the thing. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we looked at all the commandments of Jesus. Weren't they really? Because it says what? That all of the laws, all of the commands can be wrapped up in this. To love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest commandment is to God with all your heart, mind, and body, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So everything about God is driving us towards is relational, vertically and horizontally. So the new heart wants wonderful relationships. That's what a new heart wants. It wants to move towards people. Now, is it easy to move towards people? Because sometimes I have pastor friends, you know, hey, how are you doing? They're like, oh, yeah, you know. It's like, I'm doing good. Well, how's everything going? You know, with God and I, we're good. But with people in the church, not so good. Like, it's almost, and I think a lot of us, we come to that place, and here's the very definition of deception. Like, the thing that Satan does the most, and where we are, because many of you are deceived. You are. I was too. I was talking, you know, to Ellen the other day, like, we're going to do a spring cleaning. Actually, it's going to be fall cleaning now, right? It was spring cleaning, right? Now, the heart was there, you know, the desire was there, but now it's become fall cleaning. The deception, right, said, you know, we have a TV in our bedroom. You know, and to be honest, because it's in the bedroom, I watch it a little too much. Because you know what? I also have a lazy boy. That's a combination of destruction, folks. All right? I loved, I mean, it's just like, oh, Henry, welcome home. It's like, oh, why don't you turn on a little TV, go get some ice cream. And it's like, oh, all right? I don't need a man cave. And we just, you know what? You come to that place where you just have to be honest in the spirit says, I don't want that. I don't want that. The best time of my life when I was, because I was so addicted to TV. I told you, I was a latchkey kid, you know, grew up with TV as my parent almost, right? It was when I was 23 years old and I threw out my TV and went on a stretch. I only read one book as an adult up to that point, and then I just couldn't get enough books, Christian books. And I just learned so much because I got rid of the things that were a distraction. I want to be mature. I want to love God. And those things, deception is, I just don't know if I want to put a filter on my internet. You know? I mean, I watch porn a lot. You know? I don't know, like, if I want to, you know, I buy unnecessary things. My wife sometimes says, you know, you buy unnecessary things. Look at this clutter. You know? We have to do fall cleanup. A lot of it is because of the junk that I got. I discovered Tamu. Don't go to Tamu. They're so cheap. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know how they do it. They own you. But anyways, my point is, Deception is when you think you don't want to do something that you ought to be doing. That's deception. Satan would love for you to think, do you really need a filter on that internet? Do you really need to go and do that? Throw out the TV? Do you really think, I mean, you know, we decided to, yeah, we've got a TV in the basement. We're going to watch TV in the basement. Do you really think you need to have accountability on your phone? You know, do you think that you really need to delete TikTok? Seriously, I mean, I got a problem. You know, I mean, how many times have you, it's like, you know, is it helpful? I mean, what do you want? Satan's job is to get you to think that what you have to do is things that you don't want to do. There's nothing in Scripture that Jesus commands. There's absolutely zero things that Jesus wants you to do that you ought not want to do. Wanting God, desiring God above all things, is something that we all want to do. Amen? Okay. And then anything that gets in the way of that is satanic. Amen? That's, now, you understand that. That means, oh, and it seems so radical, the things that we gotta do. And we'll talk about that. But it's that thing. It's like Satan's like trying to like deceive me to think, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and serve at church. You know, the worst kind of demonic attack I hear is like, I don't want to join the church. And we're going to talk about that. 2 Corinthians 1:12, right? And 21, but we're going to talk about, because the very idea of baptism of the Holy Spirit is the insertion, supernatural insertion of a believer into the body of Christ. And let's talk about what it means to be sealed in Christ. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put a seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. When you become a believer, how do you know? Like, the Spirit of God takes residence in you, takes residence. And that means it is now going to try to, it's going to now empower you and help you. He's our helper, right? We looked over that. To what? Consistently stay in love with Jesus, consistently obey the things of God, and consistently move towards God and move towards each other. Now, people who are not even trying to really care for your, one another, especially in church, deceived. Deceived! Deceived, you're deceived. You actually think that I'm better off by myself. 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is what happens when we become Christians. And you can't say you're a Christian unless this happens. For in one spirit, now this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. This is a local body. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all what? What? Say it. Say it with me. Baptized. Into?
One body.
One body. That is, folks, we were baptized. That's how we become Christians. Now, sometimes we call that joining the church, right? Now, we've got to be careful. Do you have to join the church to become a Christian? No. Can you never, ever join the church and get really moved towards people and still call yourself a Christian? No. We're in limbo, aren't we? How can we say that the Spirit baptized us into the body and think that it's optional to be intimately involved in one another's lives and be useful to God as a member of that body? That is what it means to be a Christian. Galatians 3:25, but now that faith has come, We are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you are, many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, the Olympics are on, right? Now, I like watch. I look at the goal, like the medal standings. My eyes go immediately to the U.S. medals. Then I go, to be honest, to the Korea medal standings, okay? For the Chinese who are out there, all right, I'm sure you're going like, okay, where's Chinese or Taiwan, all right? Ghana, I'm sure you're like, oh, I wonder how Ghana's doing right now, right? Or Brazil, oh, how's Brazil doing? It's natural. But here it's saying that our citizenship is first and foremost, what? In heaven. So that means, like, everything else pales in our identity to the fact that we belong to this amazing body. Like, that's the identity. I'm a believer, and I belong to Calvary Hill. Obviously, you know, as part of the body of Christ. That's my identity. Now, we have this amazing work of the Spirit in baptism to help us now, right? So the baptism unites us to His body, both to Christ and to His people. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's the work. So we have the Holy Spirit, and then He links us and connects us. You know, I remember a friend once told me, he says, Henry, there's no hurt like church hurt. Yeah, because you're like pulling tendons and ligaments. You know, it's like painful. Yes. We don't even notice it. Then there's this other thing, right, that Jesus talks about, where the baptism is not just for believers, I mean, for people becoming Christians, but it's also for believers. Let's pick it up in Acts 1:4-5. And while staying with them, now this is after Jesus rose from the dead, and He's with His disciples now, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, Jesus is talking to a group of disciples, especially like Peter, who gets a little ahead of himself. You know? That's like me. Okay? Like, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if Robert does this. Hey, Abby, go upstairs and do your homework. All right, well, I don't want to do my homework. I don't have the strength to do my homework. Then go to your room and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, right? So that you could just be empowered to go and do your homework. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. It's like, they don't feel like going out now being a witness for Jesus Christ. They don't have the strength nor the courage to do this. So Jesus says this, hey, because usually, you know, I mean, what I would have done probably is give them a pep talk. Hey, guys, you know what? I'm going to be gone. I'm going to leave you. But I want you guys to go and do this thing. You think that would fly? That won't fly. Now, what Jesus says is go and wait. Go and wait. Go and wait. And wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, I've even heard arguments that His disciples were not Christians. That is, I'm here glad to let you know that theologically, I don't think anybody, a reasonable theologian, thinks that the disciples prior to the day of Pentecost were not believers. But Jesus is saying, wait and be empowered. How do we know that? Let's continue. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking Jesus is going to come as an emperor and conquer the world. He said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive what? power. And we're going to focus on that, right? How does the Holy Spirit give us power? There's a lot of conversation about power and strength. And you know, like, God, fill me with your power. Okay. Power comes from being in love. I'm going to say it again. Power comes from being in love. When I was dating Ellen, I still am in love, so don't make it sound like, you know, I'm not. And she doesn't like me talking about our relationship before we got married. I believe God shows us what it's like to be in love, right? And of course, after you get married, you got to work on that, and it dissipates, right? But it's the echo of a sound that, you know, that's what C.S. Lewis said, right? The fragrance of a flower, right? The thing is, you're never supposed to fall out of love with Jesus. Power is when you're in love, you're going to do any crazy thing that person wants you to do. And they don't even ask. They don't even have to ask. They don't even have to ask. When I was dating Ellen, I might have gotten, I saw her 3 times a week because she was like 5 hours round trip away. I might have gotten 2 hours of sleep. Because I came home rolling in at 1 o'clock in the morning, and then we still talk on the phone till 3 o'clock, and I would have to get up at 5 o'clock and then go and do my army PT. 2 hours. I was running on vapors, but I was in cloud 9. Amen? All right. Folks, that's power. That is power. If you're not in love, anything that Jesus asks you to do is going to be a chore. There is not a power that you will receive from the Holy Spirit that doesn't cause you to be more in love with Jesus. Okay, to do crazy things for him, okay, because you receive some sort of like, you know, nutritional power or something. Doesn't work that way. You receive that kind of love power is what I call it, and we're going to see the evidences of that. Then that's how you become witnesses. How do you expect to be a witness to your children if you're not in love with Jesus? Now I'm talking to myself. Folks, if you're not in love, people know you're not in love. It's obvious. Because when you're in love, it just comes out of your pores. Even when I was a fallen Christian, right? And I told Ellen this, you know, and like, you know, even during, before I met Ellen, I was dating like a non-Christian or something. I couldn't help but to talk about Jesus. I hope that's not new news to you, Jackie. Acts 1:13. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. This is how you wait. Right? When Jesus says, go into the upper room and wait, they knew what Jesus was talking about. Go up there and pray. Do you want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Go up there and pray. Let's pick it back up, Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, what am I saying? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is synonymous with being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how Scripture looks at it. Right? So fill me, Scripture actually commands, be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized with the Spirit. I would say it's the same thing because it's synonymous. Now, this is so important. When the early apostles saw that someone was a believer and they were not in love, it wasn't oozing out of their pores. They were like, Hold everything. We need to go and begin to pray over that person. Acts 8:12, when they, the Samaritans, believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon, the magician, himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. So these are believers now. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have, right, that power, and they weren't in love in the way that at the Pentecost. We have such low expectations of God. We're content being religious Christians. We're okay not to be in love with Jesus. But the early church didn't think like that. It's not okay not to be in love with Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Folks, there's nothing more urgent for a believer who's not in love with Jesus than to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about the church of Ephesus, okay? Paul went to Ephesus, okay, after he visited Corinth. And let's pick it up. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, notice how the early apostles, they were in tune. Like, do you know what it's like to be in love with Jesus? You know how you know? Because when you give testimony, it's not what you're doing for Jesus. It's what Jesus is doing for you. It's not that you love God, but that he loves you. And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And I'm here to tell you, folks, people talk about the Holy Spirit. You probably took Bible, but have you really experienced the Pentecostal, right? Receiving of the Spirit that calls you to light up like fire, right? To be in love with Jesus. Folks, there is no glorifying of Jesus unless you're in love with Jesus. And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. People, if you're like, you know, "I just don't know what it's like to be, I don't know if I even like Jesus. I don't even like to pray to him." There's nothing more urgent if prayer has become a chore, then we need to pray. Isn't that kind of counterintuitive? That means in growth group, this is what we talk about. "I don't even like Jesus. I don't like to spend time with him. I don't even like to read his words." You know? And it's like, it's urgent. In Ephesians 5:18, okay, Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." The Ephesian church was a wonderful church. Paul did some amazing ministry in Ephesians, in Ephesus. They were very generous. They contributed a whole bunch of, you know, money to the Jerusalem church because they were starving and stuff. I mean, but when Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus from prison, you know, he's probably hearing, you know, they're kind of like losing it. They're losing that affection. You know, they're probably turning to TikTok. They're probably watching a little bit too much Netflix, you know, being drunk on a little bit something else because Jesus is not enough for them to get through the day. You know, and they're turning to wine to take the little edge off of the day. Am I talking to somebody? You know, like, can we talk here? Don't we need something to take the edge off the day? Right? And that's what was going on. And Paul's like, "Hey, look, let's just get back to this. Be filled with the Spirit." Revelations 2:2, right? Got a couple more verses. This is Church of Ephesus, right? Again, this is the Ephesian church. Now, this is Jesus speaking in the revelation to John. Right? And this is what he's saying about Ephesus. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You're an amazing church, Ephesus. You got it going on. He said, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. The church of Ephesus went from being in love with Jesus to now working for Jesus. When your faith is moving from being in love, and now it's come where the got to is no longer a get to, and the got to is now just a got to, something is wrong. You know what Jesus says to the church of Ephesus? I'm going to take your lampstand. You know what that means? God is not going to be drawing people, okay, to Ephesus, okay, where people who are lit by the Holy Spirit are going to go and fall out of love with Jesus. You're going to turn them into some sort of religious person. And how are we doing? How are we doing? And he says, what does Jesus say to the church? Do the works you did at first. He's not talking about the other works that they're doing. He's talking about the kind of work that they did in the upper room. Where you realize, I've got to receive. It's the Spirit that flows in that's got to flow out. When you're no longer doing it out of gladness. In Deuteronomy, God says this, right? If you serve me, but you don't serve me with gladness, you will serve your enemy. God is dead set against religiosity. The most important how we glorify God is when the got to becomes the get to. That's life. There's nothing more important, okay, than on a day, week by week basis for you to go to Delta gladly. Gladly. Not mumbling, but gladly. There's nothing more important than that 15 minutes that's not seeker friendly to get up here, get on your knees and pray like they did in the upper room and not hang out outside. Can we talk here? Can we talk? Why is that? Because we realize anybody that walks through that door who don't encounter the Holy Spirit, there's nothing here for them. There is nothing here without the presence of God but religiosity. And what we don't want is religiosity, where the got to feels like the got to. And you know what? Here's how got to feels like, right? You're drowning and somebody's handing you a baby. That's what it feels like. This is how we're filled with power, okay? Many of us, life is hard. It's stressful. It is. I feel you. This is what Paul says. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There is not a situation that you will face where the love of God cannot touch you, where the love of God cannot help you get through it. Folks, that's power. That is power. You know what I need when I'm going through some rough spells? I need to get on my knees, right? Get before, and I just need to receive. You know what I was doing when I was praying? I was like, there were times when, you know, to be an elder, you got a long prayer list, folks. people, children, you know? Sometimes I just want to get through it. I'm not going to lie to you. I do. But you know, I realize I can't do that because I'm being religious again. I got to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. Then there's a quality aspect to prayer where I have to connect with God because nothing more important. Nothing matters. Nothing. If I am not connected to Him. Nothing. The thing is, as much as I want to continue to be in love with Jesus, He wants it more. That's the good news. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you know what? The fact that it says, you will, if you seek me, and you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. Do you think that Jesus is praying, you know, like hide and seek? Absolutely not. Because it would not be good for us if we didn't love Him with all our hearts, because the loser in that is us. The loser in that is us. And so God is just like, come on, come on. Get back up, Henry. Get back up. Hey, get back on your knees. Get back up to get back on your knees. Right? Let's connect. Quantity of prayer is important, but folks, it does not substitute for quality. And sometimes you just have to, I love now when I'm just feeling like, you know, my mind is spinning. I love just getting on my knees and just plopping before the Lord and the foot of Jesus Christ and say, I'm here. I need you. I love doing that. I love connecting. I love, because you know why? He doesn't fail. He fills us. He does. And then I pray. But sometimes, you know, when it feels religious, then I pause. Because I don't want to do it, you know? Like, it's a work though, isn't it? That's the work. That's the work. Right? To continue to be filled. Because sometimes you just want to say, forget this. Let's just get through the list. You know? Kids, just get up. Come on. Get up in the morning. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. That's what faith feels like. Can't do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, how you love us. How you love us, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, for all the ways that you invite us and welcome us. And just, Lord, would you teach us now to just come. Come as we are, God, just to receive your invitation. And God, just fill us now. Fill this place, God. Come here like the rushing wind to fill our hearts with love. Ignite us on fire. In Jesus' name, amen.